Good morning, everyone. It's nice to be with you. We're going to consider this morning amazing facts about Jesus and the relevance for you and for me. But first of all, I'd like to show you some pictures. And first of all, doesn't that cheer us up? A baby. Miracle, isn't it? Isn't that nice? Sister showing her love for a little sister. That's amazing, isn't it? Waterfall coming right down like that. And it's in the animal world. There's a love. A mother for her child. That's wonderful, isn't it? And we see nature and how beautiful it is. Man going into space. And there's beautiful sunset. There's just a few pictures that I'd like to show you today. But to me, the thing about it is that they're amazing, aren't they? And I'm sure you can think of many more things that are amazing. Now, what do we mean by the word amazing? Well, the word itself means surprising, that it's something that is great, astonishing, awesome, or special. And I'm sure you've all experienced things that are that. This morning, I want to show to you something that is surprising and that is great. And it also can be life-changing for each one of us. So first of all, I want to think about that. The Bible. It's God's word to you and me. And it's written with real purpose and promises. And it's able to change our lives. And what's really special about the Bible is it can give us hope in this hopeless world that we live in. And it's God's word to us. And it's able to affect us individually. You see, it's predictable, it's reliable, it's trustworthy, and it's amazing. So, God speaks to us personally. We can find amazing facts in the Bible and powerful and amazing lessons we can apply to ourselves. And that's what makes it very special. It's awesome. Now, I'd like you just turn to 2 Timothy and chapter 3. Because it tells us there clearly what the Bible is. This is the basis of what we're going to say today. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it's all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So it's saying the whole of scripture, the Old Testament and the New Testament, is given by inspiration of God. It's God breathed, it's his word to us. But you see, what's amazing about it, what's very special about it says to us then, is profitable. It's profitable for us to read it. Why? For teaching or doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So you see, it's beneficial for us to read the Bible. But we must realise that the Bible is God's word to us. Now, God's purpose is secured in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at some amazing facts about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the first one is his birth. We read it, didn't we, in Luke? And I'd like you just turn to that again, please. Luke chapter 1, verse 32. And this is when the angel appeared to Mary, the mother of Jesus. And in verse 32 of the first chapter of Luke, it says about she would have a son. And it says, verse 31 for connection, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus." And it says, "He shall be great, he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Now, what's amazing and unique about this is it's a virgin birth. His father was God. The Holy Spirit, God's power, came upon Mary. She conceived and she brought forth this son. Now, that's amazing, isn't it? It's unique. But what is special as well, he was born for a purpose. And it says he's going to sit on the throne of his father David. Now, David was a literal king on this earth. And he says it was a kingdom of God. And he's going to re-establish it. And notice what it says about this kingdom that Jesus is going to be king over. He says clearly, doesn't he? He's going to give it to him. And he says at the end of the verse, "And of his kingdom there be no end." It's going to last forever. An everlasting kingdom. So surely that is amazing, isn't it? That he was born by a virgin. And that he is born for a purpose. Let's look at another amazing fact. Please turn with me to Mark chapter 2. The Lord Jesus, in his ministry, he performed miracles. And if we look at chapter 2, verse 10, it says there about this man that was poorly. And in verse 10, it says, "But that ye may know that the Son of Man," that's Jesus, "hath power on earth to forgive sins." And he said to the sick of the palsy, "I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house." So Jesus was able to heal people, to raise people from the dead, and perform these wonderful miracles. Now surely that is amazing, isn't it? No one else is able to do that. But notice what it says in verse 12. "And immediately he arose." You see, when Jesus does something, it was immediate. It wasn't hours later, days later. It was immediately. And then it said, "He took up the bed, went forth with them all, insomuch that they were all," what? They were all amazed. "And glorified God." Wonderful, isn't it? So there's another amazing fact about the Lord Jesus. Just go to chapter 6. There's just one more incident there. And verse 50. "And it was the disciples of the Lord Jesus. They saw Jesus walking on the water." And it says, verse 50, "They all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and said unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I." You see, he was walking on the water. Now that is a miracle, isn't it? That is amazing. But notice what it says. "And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were so," what? "They were so amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered." And this is the power of the Lord Jesus. He was able to come into the boat and be with them and give them peace. And he was able to calm the waters that were around them. Powerful, isn't it? Jesus is able to calm our lives by being there. So that's amazing, isn't it? In John chapter 3, verse 16, is a well-known verse there, and it says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, God's love for mankind is that he was willing to give his only begotten Son. But notice, it's conditional. He says that whosoever believeth in him will not die. So it's conditional, this love of God, on believing in Jesus and God himself. Now that's amazing, isn't it? That Jesus died so that you and I might have hope of life. And the other amazing fact is that he rose from the dead. Luke chapter 24. Verse 6, and they went to see where Jesus was, and they wondered. And in verse 6 it says, he's not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and the third day rise again. Now isn't that amazing? That the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Now you might say, it's happened with Lazarus. But the amazing fact about the Lord Jesus, that he rose from the dead, and he lives forevermore. Isn't that amazing? Luke 24, while we're there, in verse 51, we're told about Jesus ascending into heaven. It says, and it came to pass, while he blessed them, that's his disciples, he parted from them and carried up into heaven. Now that's another amazing fact, that Jesus rose up into heaven. And the angel said about them gazing up into heaven, this same Jesus that's taken from you is going to come again in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. Now isn't that amazing? And he's going to return to earth, because that's what we just said, isn't it? That he's been promised by the angel that he's going to return back to this earth. Another amazing fact, that Jesus is going to set up God's kingdom on earth. And again, it was promised, wasn't it, in that chapter we read at the beginning, that he's going to sit on the throne of his father David, and of his kingdom there'll be no end. So Jesus is coming back to this earth to set up God's kingdom. Now that is another amazing fact about the Lord Jesus. Now there are many more amazing facts about Jesus, but we just looked at seven of them. Now in the Bible, the word seven, or the number seven, means complete. And what's going to happen when Jesus returns to this earth? He will complete his work when he sets up God's kingdom. And he will rule for 1,000 years. And at the end of that 1,000 years, we're told that God will be all and in all. God will be ruling. But that is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And those facts are amazing. And they are true and they are sure. It's awesome. It's special. So, amazing facts about the Lord Jesus Christ. Seven of them, and they are there. Now, very briefly, we just considered seven amazing facts that are true and are sure and part of God's eternal purpose. Now, what about you and me? How does that affect you and me? Because that's what's important, isn't it? It's got to be relevant for you and me today. Now, these we've looked at are amazing facts, but they are amazing facts that can affect our lives now. And part of God's purpose is, well, let's have a look. Just turn with me to Isaiah chapter 45, please. In the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 45, and it tells us clearly there what God's purpose is. It says, verse 18, "For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it, he created it not in vain, he formed it to be inhabited, I am the Lord, and there is none else." So he is the great creator of heaven and earth, and he says, "I have created this earth not to be wasted by man. I have created it for a purpose. I've created it to be inhabited by people who trust me and take me at my word." Now just have a look at verse 22, because this applies to you and me. Because it says there, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." That's what he's saying to you and me. Look unto God. Now the word God means an object of worship. Yes, we can make all sorts of gods through all sorts of things. But he's saying here, he is the living God, he is the true God, and there is none else. And him only should we worship. And he's saying, look unto me, and you'll be saved. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that great? So, we see these things for us. Amazing facts that can affect our lives now. In the New Testament, we see the word gospel. And it simply means God's good news of the kingdom. Simply means that. Good news, glad tidings. And that's what it is, God's word to us about his kingdom on earth. It's good news. Please turn to Luke chapter 8 and verse 1. "Jesus himself, when he was preaching, believed these things and taught the people." And it says there, verse 1, "And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him." Jesus was preaching, it says, and he was showing the good news of God's coming kingdom. You see, he really believed it himself. But notice what it says. He was preaching, he was telling people, and then it says he was showing. He was showing it by example, by the way that he lived his life. He lived a life knowing that God is going to set up a kingdom. And he really believed it. And everything about him showed it. And he was trying to show his disciples this. He was training them in the way of God. And he's saying to them, it's a way of life. It's got to affect the way we live day by day. If I was to say to you, someone was willing to die for you, would you not agree that that person would be amazing? You see, that someone was Jesus, God's only Son. Surely that makes him amazing and worth following. Especially when we consider our own future. You see, left to ourselves, we know we're going to die one day. But if we look to God and the Lord Jesus, then we can look beyond the grave and look to a future in the kingdom of God. And the Lord Jesus has died so that you and I can have this hope. Now that's amazing. That's awesome, isn't it? If you just turn to John chapter 15, please. Verse 13, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, verse 12 for connection, "This is my commandment, I command you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you." He's saying there's no greater love than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And how can we be his friends? We can be his friend by obeying him. And what was Jesus' commandment? He says to love God with all your heart, soul, strength and mind, and to love your neighbour as yourself. And that means that if we love God and we thank him for what he has done for us in giving us this hope through Jesus, then that's got to express itself by how we are with one another. So, Jesus died for us. And there's a vivid picture of the crown of thorns that were put on his head. Look how long they were. Now, they didn't just gently put it on his head. The agony, the suffering that he went through so that you and I can have hope of everlasting life is amazing. So, what do we need to do? Well, we need to do that, don't we? Believe. Please turn to Luke chapter 24. And here Jesus was speaking to his disciples, and he says this to them in verse 44. He says, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things might be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophet, and in the Psalms." That's our Old Testament, isn't it? He says, concerning me. All these things were prophesied in the Old Testament. Then it says, "He opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures." Lovely that, isn't it? You see, that's what it's about. Understanding. Perceiving. Knowing what it's all about. Yes, we need knowledge, but it's not all about knowledge. It's about understanding what it's about. And then that understanding's got to show itself in action, in the way that we live. And here, Jesus opened their understanding of what it was all about. You see, if we don't understand what it's all about, we won't do anything about it, will we? You see, the wonderful thing is as well, if we believe in Jesus and the things concerning the kingdom, then it bridges the gap between God and us. You see, left to ourselves now, we're going to die. But if we believe and do what it asks of us, be baptized into the saving name of Jesus, then that bridges the gap. Isn't that wonderful? And it brings us back to God through the Lord Jesus. You see, it's an amazing fact that God wants us all to be in the kingdom. Please turn to that. Luke chapter 12 and verse 32. It says there, Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Isn't that amazing? He wants us to be in his kingdom. But we've got to do something about it, haven't we? Now the question is, what are we going to do about it? You see, we must look the right way and realise that God's way is surprisingly great and special. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it tells us there, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So, that's what he's asking us to do, isn't it? We must respond to this word positively now. Please, I ask you to do something amazing. Yeah. And why? I want you to do something amazing and act upon God's word now. And why do I say that? Well, before it's too late. You see, Jesus is coming back to this earth to set up God's kingdom. And we do not know exactly the day or the hour. The way the things are going in the world now, we don't think it's very far away. But please, please, don't let it catch you unaware. Because I can assure you, whatever you decide, it is going to happen. Oh yeah, Jesus is coming back. You see, God is in control. And I want you to remember that there's going to be a time of peace and joy and everlasting life. Just turn to Acts chapter 17. There's some lovely words here that talks about God's purpose. It's saying clearly, God has appointed a day, verse 31, in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And he's talking there about the Lord Jesus, isn't he? But you see, whatever we think, God has appointed a day when he's going to judge this world in righteousness. He's going to set up that kingdom. Eventually, God will surprise us with great things such as these. There is no doubt God's amazing kingdom is coming very soon. Please do something amazing. Right. When you were younger, does anybody remember playing hide and seek? Put your hand up if you played hide and seek. Don't be shy. Now, when you were the one that got to go and find some, what did you count to? Do you not remember?
20.
20? Blooming it, you'd soon get them. It's a count to 100. Is that about right? Because we used to do like, you know, 1, 2, miss a few, 99, 100. I know you did that. But when you finished saying that to yourself, what did you shout out? Coming, ready, thank you. Coming, ready or not. And you know that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to do that. He's going to come whether you're ready or not. So please, don't let him catch you unawares. Do something amazing now. We're not long in the new year, are we? And I ask you, please, to do something amazing. I ask you to have a new beginning, to have an amazing start around God's word and around his purpose. Have an amazing life. Have an amazing hope. And if you do, you will have an amazing future. So please, we've seen amazing facts about the Lord Jesus Christ. They're awesome. They're special. And you and I can be part of what God has purposed. Isn't that wonderful? He wants us to be in the kingdom. But please, whatever you do, remember, he's coming ready or not. Thank you.